Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the show. Adam Azer here with Dave Richard, with Jamie Eisenberg on his way in. And it's August 29th. We're getting you ready for one last weekend of drafting, reviewing everything we saw last night, or didn't see last night. There were 15 or 16 games. There are 32 teams.
We so did
16
not,
games.
We have not gotten to it all, but there is plenty of interesting stuff to talk about after the fourth preseason game. A lot of starters did not play, and the ones who did not play much. But we saw a couple of nice players and good plays, but nothing that's really going to change fantasy rankings by and large. A few things, but not a lot.
Like what? What might change things?
Well, I'll tell you what. Terrence West has looked like a giant bag of stale potato chips this preseason. Excuse me, Adam. And I think that could make Ben Tate a little more appealing, and West could tumble down draft boards a little bit. Speaking of tumbling down draft boards, another player who another starter who didn't play yesterday, obviously, so was Wes Welker. I was in a 12-team keeper league draft Thursday night. My team picked Welker. Welker's on my bust list. What round do you think I got him in?
The ninth round.
Later.
That's
by one
crazy.
Round 10.
He might be ready for week one.
He's going to be our flex. And for however long he's healthy, we're going to lean on him.
Yeah, I just think his value is if he's going in round 8 or later, that's some of the best draft value you can get.
Potentially. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm counting on him not finishing the season. I don't know if it's going to happen in week 1, week 16, somewhere in between, where if someone's going to come after him, hit him in the helmet, and he's going to be a little woozy, and he's going to have to be taken off the field.
If you want to email us, it's fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We have a live show today at noon Eastern time. We're going to talk some running back handcuffs, review ADP, preseason risers and fallers, things like that. Email of the day is from Scotty O'Barnes in Easley, South Carolina. Who are the 3 or 4 handcuff running backs that will crack into the top 20 overall running backs in a standard league by the end of the year?
I was thinking about my bold prediction on Andre Williams yesterday, where I said next year he's going to be a first-round pick, and I liked it. I think the run game is all the Giants have right now on offense, although you never know. The one thing we know about preseason is just because you see it in the preseason doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. Exhibit A, Jay Cutler last season with the Bears. Exhibit B, Cam Newton. Each of his first 3 seasons in the league, his preseason's nothing really to write home about. And then all of a sudden he goes out and he puts up big numbers. We do think this year will be different for him because of situations beyond his control, his health, his offensive line, his receiving core. We've talked about that show after show here on the podcast. But that's definitely one guy that I look at and I think, well, the Giants are going to need him. And Rashad Jennings, who knows how long he'll last.
Oh, he's looking good, too.
He has looked good, and I think they might have to end up leaning on those two guys a little bit more than we might have first thought. So that's one. If you want to talk about another handcuff, maybe it is Devontae Freeman, who didn't exactly have a great game, did score a touchdown for the Falcons yesterday. I got a better one than that, and that's Jeremy Hill. He's put together a real nice preseason in Cincinnati. I don't think he's going to come near 200 touches, much less 200 carries, like the official team website believed. But I see his value going up.
20 carries for 90 yards and 6 catches for 70 yards.
Yeah, and even left with an elbow injury. Who knows?
He might have had
a little bit more.
I
was going to say, if he never had left with the injury, he might have been able to stay in there a little longer. I went back yesterday and watched all the Seahawks' first team preseason snaps. Christian Michael looks so good.
Yeah.
Turbin looks good, too. The offensive line is going to do their running backs a lot of favors. But Michael, he can do almost anything back there. He looks great.
Right, but if Marshawn Lynch goes down with an injury, or you want to give it a different hypothetical scenario, you don't like injuries?
Oh, yeah, I don't like injuries. Marshawn Lynch gets lost in a maze of Skittles. And they can't find him. They don't know how to get him out.
He doesn't really want to leave.
Yeah, he's going to have to eat his way out. He's going to have to beast mode his way out.
What's your best bet on what happens in that scenario?
I think it'll eventually turn into Michael as the main back there with Turbin working on passing downs. Turbin's a little more physical than Michael, but I'm more impressed by Michael.
Devontae Freeman actually had a 1-yard touchdown run yesterday. Yeah. Now, Steven Jackson didn't play. What's your take on that situation? Not much. You know, the thing is, if a guy played a lot yesterday, it's not necessarily a good thing, and it's often a bad thing. since they don't want to risk the injury to any important players.
Or it's just a way to get them more action and more playing time to see what they have. But you're for the most part, you're right.
Yeah, but I don't know what the situation was with Atlanta. I don't
they didn't
want to
run their fragile veteran running back into the ground.
No, forget about that. I'm talking really more like
Freeman versus Jacquizz.
I think Rodgers had the first couple of carries.
Do you believe that talent eventually makes its way to the top?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's why I'm surprised you're so down on C.J. Spiller.
That's an offense that has looked poor all preseason long.
Yes.
And it's very discouraging.
Well, let's get to the Falcons Bills. First.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're the one that brought up C.J. Spiller. So
I know, but
following your lead.
Yeah. We'll go back to C.J. Spiller and the Bills. They look terrible.
They did.
But Freeman's role, what do you think it will be?
It's going to change. It's going to vary on how Steven Jackson holds up. If Steven Jackson is monitored to the point, and I think this is could be likely, 15 carries a game, couple catches per game, he's going to be the lead back for Atlanta until he starts to snap. And when that happens, then I think you'll start to see Freeman wedge his way in a little bit more. I can't see how the coaching staff there goes back to Jacquizz Rodgers for a third year knowing what he's done the past two.
For what it's worth, Rodgers did get the first two carries and had a pass thrown to him incomplete on the second Atlanta possession. And then after that, we saw some other running backs in there. Okay, so the Bills have looked terrible. And meanwhile, Sammy Watkins re-aggravated the injury to his ribs.
Brutal. That's a guy who's going to sink in the rankings.
But another guy that
and
you
Manuel
don't need a week
terrible.
One, right?
So no, that's true.
You know, maybe Watkins becomes good value, similar to Welker on a lower end, just because of a preseason injury.
We said right after the draft that the one problem that Sammy Watkins has is that he's going to wait the longest of any of those elite wide receivers in the draft, the rookie wide receivers. I shouldn't have said the word elite. He's going to have to wait the longest to get a quarterback to be worth a darn throwing to him, because the Bills are going to stick with Manuel as long as they possibly can. When they realize that he's not the answer, which we know, they're going to go to Jeff Toole or Jordan Palmer. Those guys aren't going to be the answer. Buffalo's drafting a quarterback next year. It'll be a different head coach doing it. And I hate to say it, because Buffalo deserves winning football. The Bills deserve it. Those fans especially deserve it. And certain parts of that defense deserve it, too.
Watkins or Justin Hunter?
I think we're at the point now where you're better off gambling on Justin Hunter.
Watkins
is going to take another tumble down my rankings.
Watkins or Kenny Stills?
I'll go Watkins there, because Stills isn't healthy. You're asking me to compare Watkins with a rookie, or not a rookie, but a guy who just can't stay on the field.
Derek Carr seems to be in the discussion to start for Oakland.
It's going
to
happen.
Is he on your radar as a fantasy owner?
In two quarterback leagues, I think he's worth a pickup right now.
Detroit linebacker Kyle Van Noy had core muscle surgery.
That
he's their second round pick.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a.
We need to see how long he's going to end up being out for.
What do you think about their defense overall, Detroit?
I think they'll be just like last year. They're going to be sound against the run until the game's out of hand, and then their teams are going to gash them.
What do you
think
about them?
Their pass defense is going to be a little mess. Their safeties are good.
What do you think about them week one against the Giants Monday night at home?
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, will the real Giants passing game please stand up? I would be
pathetic.
Nervous. I would be nervous starting any Giants player in that game.
Do you consider the Lions a draftable DST just for week one?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would.
Chris Polk,
just for week one.
Chris Polk didn't play for Philadelphia. He's got a hamstring injury.
That's the whole preseason for him.
Yeah.
Right?
So who's LeSean McCoy's handcuff?
I think you go with Sproles. You stay with Sproles as the best available guy. The coaches have talked him up as a three down back all camp long. Listen, everybody knows that if a situation comes up where LeSean misses time, A, we're all going to jump off the roofs of our houses. B, Darren Sproles is going to get time, but I don't think he's going to get every single snap. In this keeper league I was in last night, we were looking at Matthew Tucker as a possible late round flyer. I think his name's Matthew. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
No, it's it.
But he might not. He might not make the final roster. So it could be TBD on the other guy there besides Polk.
AJ Jenkins, Kansas City wide receiver, left with a concussion. I only bring this up because I wonder: do they have any wide receivers that are capable of doing anything this year other than Dwayne Bowe?
No.
Yeah, it's a shame.
No, and then, I mean that's where the Travis Kelce argument comes in.
Mm-hmm.
but I did some quick research on Andy Reid's history with tight ends. Never has had a 1,000-yard tight end. Only once has had a tight end with more than 6 touchdowns in a season. Only once has had a tight end with more than 900 receiving yards in a season.
Wow.
It's Brent Celek, who did both those things in the same season. Hmm. Celek had a monster year, I think it was 09. Then after that, nothing. So I think Anthony Fasano is going to play a ton because they need help blocking on the O-line. Kelsey's going to be a part-time player.
Any preseason risers and fallers you want to mention, Dave?
Preseason risers and fallers. Well, let's go back to C.J. Spiller in Buffalo and the fact that I think it's going to be easy to defend the Bills this year. You're going to make E.J. Manuel put the ball in the air.
I never really buy into this argument, though.
Why?
It's easy to defend the Vikings every year. It was easy to defend the Bills 2 years ago when Spiller had a good year. I mean, yeah, obviously it helps to have more of a balanced offense, but running backs can still play well on teams with bad passing offenses.
Yeah, but not when they're losing touches to another back along the way.
No, that's an entirely separate
issue.
And
I'm pretty sure we're going to see that as a consistent theme for Buffalo this year. So, yeah, he would be a faller. I would say almost every Ram has fallen because of the Sam Bradford injury. Certainly the bloom is off the rose of Kenny Britt's comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Quick, for however many people, there weren't many that were looking at him. I'm worried about him now. Zach Stacy with Benny Cunningham coming back, that's going to get people freaked out. I think Stacy's the best bet, but I think he's definitely more of a number two running back than a potential number one running back.
Are Victor Cruz and or Ruben Randall fallers?
I think they should, even though the Giants are undefeated in the preseason.
Yeah.
You should be excited about that. I think they should fall. I think they're undesirable right now.
You know, you should be excited about that, Dave. Because I'm pretty sure the last time the Giants went undefeated was 1985. Pretty good year for the Chicago.
Because
crew.
That makes complete sense. All right, so we'll see the Bears in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Cruz and Randall. I actually wonder if they're going to end up being buy-low guys.
Right.
Maybe the Giants will eventually get the hang of this offense.
To me, it all comes down to Eli and whether or not he gets the hang of it. And if he does get the hang of it, then those guys are going to be great. It's really that simple.
Russell Wilson threw 3 passes,
he
77 yards, and a touchdown.
Is
he a top 12 guy or what?
He's fun to watch. The biggest problem I have with him moving into the top 12 is who are you going to pick him over? I mean, let me throw a name at you, and you tell me if you would be comfortable picking Russell Wilson over this name. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Phillip Rivers. You're in your draft.
Not quite.
Okay. Big Ben.
No.
Carson Palmer. It's getting easier.
Yes. I you guys like Palmer more than I do. But
okay.
But then again, interceptions aren't really that big of a deal. Oh, I should have lowered Jamie's headset before
okay.
he picked it up. My
well,
bad.
Well,
hi,
those,
Jamie.
Hi, buddy.
Well, those are the 3 quarterbacks that I wrestle with Russell Wilson. And
I take Wilson over the 2 not named Ben Roethlisberger easily.
Okay. So Rivers and Carson Palmer, you would take him out of?
Yes.
All right. I'm not there yet.
Rivers is very easy for me to take Wilson.
Okay.
Why?
Well, because I think you're going to get those big games that Rivers had, they're going to come down a little bit, and when he finished the season with is kind of where he's going to be. He flatlined.
Yeah.
So you'll get like little peaks here and there.
Yeah,
but he flatlined. They were running the ball so much. It's got to be a little bit
more
balanced.
Yeah, I don't think they're going
to. Right?
I think they will be more balanced.
Not as pass heavy as the beginning of the season for the Chargers.
Right.
They weren't really pass happy. They just had – he was touchdown happy.
Well, that's part of being pass happy.
No.
Yes.
He just fell into touchdowns. He threw the same amount.
Well, Wilson, safe to say, high-end backup.
Yes.
You can feel comfortable starting.
I like the move, and I wrote about this. You take Russell Wilson, you pair him with Rivers, Roethlisberger, or Jake Locker, and you play the matchups. And if you see a matchup that isn't comfortable for Russell Wilson, be it because he's playing on the road outdoors or because he's playing the 49ers, for whatever reason, obviously you're going to start him in all those other home games, then you stick with Wilson. Otherwise, you go to the other guy. If you go with one of those 3, you'll like the matchups that the other 3 quarterbacks have. There's no bye week problem. When Russell Wilson's on bye, all 3 of those quarterbacks are playing and have decent to good matchups.
Would you rather have Blake Bortles or Derek Carr, 2 quarterback league, if you were going to gamble?
Bortles.
It would be Bortles unless an announcement comes down from the Raiders saying we're starting Derek Carr and we're not looking back.
Do you have any final thoughts about Bishop Sankey, who had 7 carries of 43 yards yesterday against Minnesota?
I thought he looked good for the most part.
Nothing changes,
though? It's going to be a wait-and-see deal with him.
Rashad Jennings or Bishop Sankey?
I think it's got to be Jennings now.
Jamie? Jennings or Sankey?
Sankey.
Sankey?
Yep.
Jonathan Grimes, 8 carries for 33 yards against San Francisco. Alfred Blue had 4 carries for negative 3 yards and two catches for 26 yards. Grimes didn't have a touch until Houston's third series. So who's the guy to get behind Arian Foster?
So what do you think? They were just giving Blue a look or
could
what?
Be. Could be. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of uncertainty.
I think Grimes would be who I would take.
All right. How about Bears handcuff? Sean Drone still?
Drone.
Yeah, it might be Drone. I think it's Drone. I get him confused with Reuben Drones. James White and Jonas Gray played like crap, at least by the numbers, at the Giants. So I saw that as good news for Stephen Ridley. At least it wasn't bad news for Stephen Ridley, who didn't play. What do you guys
think?
Do you think that's
bad news for Stephen Ridley, that he didn't play?
I think it's good news that he didn't play.
Why? If he doesn't play, he can't get hurt. Then they could get rid of him. They can trade him, at least.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. I think the fact that none of the important starters played and Ridley didn't play, except for like 2 offensive linemen or something, was a good sign for Ridley. But you guys have any thoughts?
Not really. Let's just wait till Saturday. I'm sure he's going to make the final roster.
I keep drafting him.
It makes one of us.
I mean, 6th round or whatever. If you get the starting running back for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's a good value pick for you.
How about Fozzie Whitaker? Big game yesterday for Carolina. Could you see him have any value?
Nope.
Was there anyone that's worth talking about? Aaron Dobson caught a touchdown, 57 yards and a touchdown.
Belichick was happy with what he saw from Dobson.
He's going to end up being the guy on the outside that you want for the Patriots.
And that's a guy you can definitely draft late.
Marquise Lee, 1 catch, 57 yards, and a touchdown from Bortles.
I'm surprised you didn't start with that. He was wide open.
He's going to be good. I feel confident in him. I don't know when.
That didn't sound very confident.
I think he's going to have a
good
career.
Say it with some
I think he's going to have a good career. I think he and Bortles will be the next Ryan to Julio.
Okay. You even did that thing with your finger?
Yeah.
Where like you point.
Yeah, it was like a yeah.
Real fast.
Justin Hunter, Cody Latimer, they did stuff. Denarius Moore, Dontrell Inman, and then some tight ends. Richard Rodgers.
Denarius Moore had a career game.
Tim Wright, 4 catches, 43 yards. People might look at that.
Belichick was very, he didn't want to say anything about him after the game. Like those were some of the first questions that he got. Well, what do you like about Tim Wright? I don't know. He's a football player. You know, like he was very, very Belichicky when asked about Tim Wright. I don't know how to decipher that.
Jamie, are there any preseason risers and fallers you'd like to talk about?
No.
You didn't get into the Steelers running backs, Adam.
They didn't play yesterday.
They did. Le'Veon Bell had 2 carries for 8 yards.
Really? Where the
LeGarrette
hell was I?
Blunt had 3 carries for 7 yards. That's part of their alleged punishment for their smoke and drive.
I apologize.
Deal.
So, give me your final.
I still like Le'Veon. I still like him. I can't help myself.
He's
number 2.
Outside your top 12, right?
Actually, I think he's in my top 12. I can check.
On the borderline?
Yes, Madonna.
Le'Veon Bell for you is 12th. 12th. And 10th for Jamie.
No.
No, he's not. He's
10th 13th. For Dave, 12th for Jamie.
What are you looking at?
Looking at your rankings.
No, you're not.
PPR.
Ah,
my
that's
bad.
Why.
And in standard, 13th for Jamie, 12th for Dave. There we go. Jamie, what's going on?
Hi, buddy. I'm about to chat in 2 minutes.
Are you kidding?
Nope.
Man, you're always doing something. Okay, well.
That time of year.
Let's do some ADP review. I'm going to read out ADP, and you guys tell me what stands out. We'll go round by round. Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson, Peyton Manning.
Ding.
Too high.
Too high. What's it at? 4 point what?
4.47.
Oh, my gosh. It's gotten higher.
It's happening in so many people are telling me about their drafts. Peyton Manning went 1, 2, 3 overall.
It's also 2 QB leagues, too, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, but I'm talking single quarterback leagues. It's happening a lot.
Happened in one of my drafts. Both of the drafts I was in last night, Peyton was the first round pick.
How early?
I'd have to go check, but
not
one of them
early,
was
right?
not, one was definitely after 6th overall. It was between 7 and 12, and the other one was probably around 5 overall, 5th overall.
After Manning is Forte, Calvin Johnson, Eddie Lacy, Demaryius Thomas, Jimmy Graham, who basically have the same ADP. Who would you guys prefer, Demaryius Thomas or Jimmy Graham?
Graham.
Graham in standard, Thomas in a PPR.
Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and then DeMarco Murray. Those are your 12th highest ADPs.
Nothing's changed in last week.
People are still a little scared of DeMarco Murray, though. He's the guy that people are kind of just settling for.
right here.
Your hands up. You're scared about the injuries happening to him, right?
Yeah, but he really is so – he is such a good player. And I don't quite love taking him in the first round. I know you guys would. I think I took him in the second round in a draft, and, you know, I was cool with that. But
as long as he gets the work, he usually delivers the numbers.
He's so good, and what he did last year with the amount of carries he had was really remarkable, very efficient.
Yeah.
So who do you handcuff him with?
In a PPR league, for me, it's a no-brainer. That's Lance Dunbar. In a standard league, I'd probably either still go Lance Dunbar or I'd just pick a bunch of running backs on other teams and not handcuff him.
Monte Ball, 13. His ADP is 14, but he has the 13th highest ADP, so I'll just do it in increments of 10. Monte Ball, Dez Bryant, Ball or Murray, by the way?
Murray.
Ball. People are scared of him, too. I don't
know
why.
Yeah, Jamie, so why would you take Murray over him? You think Monte Ball is going to have a better year than Knowshon Hyde last year, which was number 6 in fantasy at running back?
Murray was 7th.
And Murray is injury prone. We don't know about Ball. Kind of young. So why would you
He's appendectomy prone.
Yeah, why would you go Murray over Ball?
I just like Murray better. I think they're both going to be very good. It's like the same thing I feel about Charles and McCoy. It's like 1 or 1A.
Did you feel...
I have no problem if somebody wants Ball ahead of Murray.
Did you have Murray ahead of Ball before the appendectomy?
No.
Okay.
I'm worried about games where Dallas is behind by 17 points in the third quarter. How much work is DeMarco going to get? Mm-hmm. Versus when the Broncos are up by 17 points in the third quarter. That's when Monte Ball could really rack up some numbers.
All right, so it's Ball, Dez, Geo, Lynch, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, Doug Martin moving up 4 spots.
Good.
Jordy Nelson, Le'Veon Bell, Alfred Morris, and Arian Foster. Anything stand out there? Marshawn Lynch going too high? 16th overall?
Well, what's the ADP?
Both, 16th and 17th ADP, 17. Ahead of A.J. Green and Julio Jones and Marshall, ahead of Doug Martin.
Second-round value on Marshawn Lynch isn't so bad.
That's where he should go.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford's going pretty high. He's got the 25th highest ADP. He's going 26th overall. Then Antonio
that's just
Brown.
Silly.
Well, you think that's too high? All the quarterbacks are going too high, though.
Yep.
Antonio Brown, Zach Stacy, Alshon Jeffrey, Andre Ellington, Julius Thomas, Randall Cobb, Rob Gronkowski.
Did you see who Pete Prisco picked to lead the NFL in rushing this year?
Not Julius Thomas. Or not Andre Ellington. Definitely not Julius Thomas.
Andre Ellington.
Really?
Yep.
There's not a chance in hell Andre Ellington leads the NFL.
I can't wait to play that back if he does it. I think he could get close. He's an exciting player.
You're not going to get enough carries.
He led
that's
all
why
running
I don't
backs
think
with at least 100 carries in yards per carry.
I don't care. He's not going to get
enough. I agree. I agree. I think he'll be devastating as a pass catcher. Devastatingly handsome.
Randall Cobb, Rob Gronkowski, Larry Fitzgerald, Toby Gerhart, Reggie Bush, and Michael Crabtree.
That's that range of players that you just kind of, like you feel okay with them because they seem safe, but there isn't that exciting factor.
I don't know.
There aren't fireworks.
We've talked enough about Randall Cobb. Is he an elite receiver? Is he like in a tier of his own just after the elites and just before that Crabtree Fitzgerald?
It's a small tier. He's not alone in the tier.
Who's he with? Alshon?
I'd put Alshon in that tier. I'd put Crabtree in that tier.
Okay.
But it's a small tier. And in a standard league, I'd put Antonio Brown on top of all of them in that tier.
And obviously in PPR, you would as well.
I don't know. In PPR, I might move Antonio Brown into that first tier.
Oh, okay. But he is ahead.
Brown's better in
PPR, yeah. All right. Shane Vereen has the 37th highest ADP. Tom Brady, Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson, Ryan Matthews, CJ Spiller, Andrew Luck.
Spiller. And again, Brady and Luck, too soon for me.
Yeah, Spiller's down six spots now, so he's falling.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen, Pierre Garçon, Bishop Sankey, also
and
down
Sankey's
six
where?
Spots. He's going 50th, so he's going early fifth
round.
Round
five. Yeah, I don't love it.
Roddy White and Matt Ryan.
You might argue Roddy White's going too low.
He is.
Yeah. The fact that he's going to be involved in that offense, he's going to catch a lot of passes. He's healthy now. That team's not going to run the ball a ton anyway. Roddy White's a smart one to draft.
Next 12.
He's sneaky.
Vernon Davis, Joik Bell, Victor Cruz, Cordarrelle Patterson, up five spots. Now he's 54th
overall.
Yeah,
he's going to keep moving up.
Should he go ahead of Roddy White?
I think this is the case of what we talked about on yesterday's podcast, the old school versus new school. And if you're just one of those people that likes to get the new flashy toy and not stick with old reliable, then you are going to go with Cordarrelle. But if you're okay with old reliable...
What are you going to do?
It'll probably be... I think I've got Patterson ahead of him.
Frank Gore, Rashad Jennings.
But I'm that kind of guy.
Gore or Jennings, who do you like better?
Gore.
Gore.
How about PPR?
Jennings.
Ray Rice. Gore, Jennings, Rice. Rank them.
I think it would be Rice, Gore, Jennings.
Gore, Rice, Jennings.
Nick Foles. Jason Witten. Emmanuel Sanders. Michael Floyd.
Emmanuel Sanders is at what?
He's up 11 spots. He's now 59th.
He's going to keep going up. You're not going to get him at the last pick and second to last pick in round five in a 12-team league.
Michael Floyd's 59th. Chris Johnson is 60th.
He's going to start mixing in at around 47th overall, maybe even higher.
Who's that?
Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah.
And then Michael Floyd, you said?
Yeah, Michael Floyd, 60th, end of the fifth round.
Yeah, that's great value. I would imagine he'd start moving up a little bit too.
To think
he's had
that
a quiet preseason, that's part of the reason.
But he's going so much lower than Fitzgerald.
So close on touchdowns on consecutive plays. So close.
It's actually, I guess it's not as low as I thought. Oh, yeah, no, it is. It's 22 spots lower than Larry Fitzgerald. All right, next up, Kaepernick, Ben Tate, Percy Harvin. Beginning of the sixth round for Harvin. How's that value?
Love it.
I'm nervous about drafting him, but you know, if I'm going to like Russell Wilson, I think I have to admit that Percy Harvin, when he's healthy, could be awesome.
Here's the worst pick of the draft. The Seahawks defense, 64th overall. Probably influenced by auto draft, but still not.
I would go ahead and say that that's definitely the case.
Yeah, but still, sixth round. I mean, you got to have other players before that gets
automatic. It's a little crazy. There's no question they're the best DST, but they're not worth any kind of reach.
DeSean Jackson, 66th overall.
Too soon.
Too soon?
Yeah, what are we talking? Round six?
With Edelman, with now Welker, Golden Tate, Torrey Smith.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's too soon. I'm going to say it's okay. Round six is okay.
Who's to say he's not the number one receiver for the Redskins?
That's what I'm worried about. He could be.
Yeah, I don't say that's too soon necessarily. And Macklin's another guy that's going around later.
Yeah, everybody's scared over the injury that he had. Everybody's worried that he won't last very long. Yeah, a little bit.
Would you rather have Macklin or Welker?
That's a good question.
Macklin, right now.
Me too.
All right, where are we at? We're at Sean Jackson. Julian Edelman, Trent Richardson, down six spots. Jordan Cameron, Wes Welker, who's probably the biggest faller, down 21 spots.
So what's his ADP?
He's going to end up being such a good value
now.
Pick.
Yeah, we were just saying that.
I got him with the 115th pick in a draft.
Yeah, I saw
him. It's amazing.
That's the only question I've got. What was I thinking the round before when he was...
All right, but here's the thing. If we agree that Welker's going to be good value, does that mean Emmanuel Sanders is going to be bad value now?
No.
Not if he's going at around the end of round four in a 12-team league.
Okay.
Close to round five in a 10-team league.
After Welker, we got Tony Romo, Golden Tate, who's going 70th.
That's good value.
And Torrey Smith. Who do you like better, Tate or Smith?
I think Smith will end up with more yardage by the end of the season, but I think Tate is going to be more fun to own, if that makes any sense. They're both going to be super inconsistent.
Jamie says he'd rather have Tate. Would you rather have Edelman or Tate?
I'll take Tate over Edelman.
Jaime?
Tate.
Over Edelman?
Mm-hmm.
All right, next round. Could do a few more. Pitta, Macklin, Hilton,
Jamie's going to kill me.
Have not drafted T.Y. Hilton in one league.
Neither have I, but Jamie's going to be mad at me over something.
Why? What? Oh, what?
I took Zach Ertz over Pitta in a draft last night.
That's okay. Take your guy.
I've got Pitta ranked ahead of Ertz, but he's my guy. It was late in a draft. It was later than I expected, and so I'd rather speculate on the upside of Ertz, who's my guy, right?
Do you think I'm a fool for not drafting T.Y. Hilton in any leagues?
No, because I think he's going to be very inconsistent. It's going to be 100 yards and a touchdown 1 week, two catches, 15 yards the next.
Right.
I don't want to deal with that in round seven. Is that where we're at, round seven, or are we even in round eight? If it's
seven.
Round eight, round nine, if he's there, that's great value.
Well, right after him is Marcus Colston.
Yeah, perfect example.
That's an easy call, right?
I'll take Colston.
Jamie Colston or Hilton?
Colston. Makes more sense now.
Yep.
Yeah, Colston's a big riser, up seven spots. Pierre Thomas is up four spots, 81st overall.
You going to take credit for that one, big boy?
I mean, I was helping somebody out with a draft yesterday. Pierre Thomas in the fifth round, I think, or sixth, maybe fifth or sixth round in a PPR league. That
well,
can't happen.
I won't fight you.
That's too low. That's too late.
How many carries do you think is reasonable for Pierre Thomas this season? Knowing what Mark Ingram has done.
Averaging five per game.
Five carries per game.
Yeah, so that's
90 on the year. That's Sproles-esque.
Is that 90 on the year? I think it's 80 on the year.
80 on the year.
I'm fine with that. In PPR?
And how many catches?
Around 80?
Another five, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you saying he's going to get five catches a game?
Both.
Or five carries a game? Five of each per game.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, 160 touches.
See, I think
low.
I think he'll get more carries.
Yeah.
The original projection that we have for him, and I think the one that's on the site, is around 150 carries over the course of the year. That's almost 10 per game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder
if that
gets knocked down a nudge, and he's maybe more around a buck and a quarter.
I probably sold him short because I was just thinking about the amount of carries that Darren Sproles would get.
Sproles he had about as many catches as he did carries.
Right, and he still
or
was
fewer.
Very good with it. So
yeah.
Mark Ingram has a bad injury history. And so that could help Thomas's carries if Ingram gets hurt.
They've got a lot of running. They're going to be able to mix and match their running backs. The one thing about Thomas is that he's been in the offense the longest, probably the most comfortable. Coaches are probably going to trust him the most.
So would you go with Thomas or?
That's a team that could make a trade. They could deal off one of their running backs.
Thomas or Trent Richardson, first standard, then half point PPR, then regular PPR, full point PPR.
I'm going to take Trent Richardson last in all formats.
Really?
I'll take Thomas first.
Jamie? Thomas or Richardson standard?
Richardson, easy.
Thomas or Richardson, full point PPR?
Thomas.
Half point PPR?
Thomas.
Hey, okay. Thomas or Ridley? He goes two spots after Thomas. Thomas or Ridley, guys?
Ridley.
I've got Ridley a spot ahead of Thomas in standard.
It's a no-brainer.
I'll say it. It's a good value for Stephen Ridley. Yes, it is.
It is, yeah.
It is.
How about for MJD? Is that good value for him, round seven?
Fine.
I don't want him.
And then
I know he's had a nice preseason. I don't want him.
Mike Wallace, Kendall Wright, Terrence Williams, and Fred Jackson. Wallace, Wright,
yeah,
Williams.
Yeah.
How would you rank those three?
Wallace, Wright, and Williams?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got it. Wright, Wallace, Williams.
You really like Kendall Wright that much, huh?
Yeah.
I go Williams, Wright, Wallace.
Yeah, maybe we should talk a little bit about Mike Wallace. He finished really strong last year.
Oh, I actually have Williams ahead of Wright. I should probably look at my rankings.
Yeah, just look,
often.
Dave.
I don't want to take like
no
10 minutes.
There's no shame in looking. Just control F, man. You know that trick?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't expect you to memorize all of your rankings. What kind of season do you think Mike Wallace is going to have?
Close to last year, maybe with another touchdown on top. He's not a number one guy. He's just
not a number one fantasy guy. Is that what
no,
you meant?
No, I mean a number one guy for the Dolphins. I think he's got a big role, and he's an important part, but he's not a do-it-all type of wide receiver. He's getting paid to be a do-it-all type receiver. It's not going to mesh. I don't think he's going to be able to do what DeSean Jackson did last year.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
Okay, well, let's cut it off there and read some emails, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Alex is from?
Moon County, Pennsylvania.
Help!
Moon Township, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, guys.
He says, help! I have my first Dynasty League draft coming up soon, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Any dynasty advice for the noobs out there?
Well, young players tend to go faster in a dynasty league since you're going to be able to keep them on your roster longer. The first thing I'll tell you is if you see a veteran that falls into your lap at a crazy good value, don't hesitate to draft him. And the saying that I always use is, you know, somebody's got to win this season too. And even though you're starting a dynasty league, there's no guarantee it's going to be around 5 years from now or 10 years from now. So I always like to play to win now in those types of formats and save those later picks for the moonshot type of sleepers.
But would you take Eddie Lacy over Adrian Peterson in a dynasty league?
I don't know if I would, to be perfectly honest.
Eddie Lacy over who?
Peterson.
In a dynasty league?
100%. It's not even close.
Just because he's younger.
They're so close right now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, then would you take Giovanni Bernard over Adrian Peterson in a dynasty league? Standard scoring.
No.
Right. Because AP is just that much better.
But I would take Ball over him.
That's interesting.
In a dynasty league.
Now, we've got...
I would push the receivers way up over any borderline running back. Like, I would take Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, just imagine keeping... Well,
that Thomas is a good one, though.
Forget Thomas. I would take... Julio Jones, AJ Green, Dez for sure over guys like Alfred Morris, Marshawn Lynch. That there's a lot of question about that now, but if you was even close, any of these guys that are going to flame out in a year or two, these running backs, those receivers are going to be stars.
How about Alshon Jeffrey, Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yep. I don't know if I take
Keenan
Patterson
Allen.
Over those guys right now, no. Because then you're risking the win now versus
Michael Floyd.
When do you take Sammy Watkins and Brandon Cooks of the world?
They go, you know, if there's any question ahead of the Reggie Waynes, the Wes Welkers,
they'll be between middle 60th to older to 80th overall.
Receivers.
Maybe right. Even a little sooner. Maybe.
All right, next question is from Nader. 3 wide receiver leagues with half-point PPR. He says, what's up, Harvey, Mike, and Lewis? We'll look it up. Does playing in a 3-receiver half-point PPR league bump up the value of all wide receivers, kind of like what a 2-quarterback league does for quarterbacks? 3 receivers, half-point PPR. I'm drafting 3rd. Is it a no-brainer to go Calvin, or do I stick with a running back?
I'd go with a running back and aim for a receiver on the way back.
All right, yeah. So how does a 3-receiver league change your strategy, guys?
It might push receivers up. It'll make me want to take one in round 2, potentially round 3. And probably by the end of round 6, I'd like to have my 3 starting receivers on my fantasy team.
By the end of round 6?
By the end of round 6.
All right. I think it also...
If not the end of round 5, to be honest.
I think it also de-emphasizes the need to take a lot of bench running backs. I don't know how you feel. If you can only start a maximum of 2 running backs.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a flex spot, it's a different story. But if you can only start 2 running backs, then I don't usually spend as many picks on running backs late. I'd rather get receivers. You?
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you agree? I mean, do you disagree? Do you not care? Is it whatever?
Yeah, what you said.
Thanks. What are you chatting about, Jamie?
Fantasy football with our users.
Well, give me a question. What's the last question?
If McCoy goes down, would Josie be the main carrier?
Oh,
if he makes the team.
You see the overreactions from preseason week 4? There you go. What'd you say?
I said he could. I would expect a committee of Chris Polk when healthy and Darren Sproles. There's no true handcuff for McCoy heading into the year.
No Tucker, love.
None.
Interesting. James from Topeka.
That's in Kansas.
Yeah, it is. 12-team half-point PPR league. His team name, by the way, is DJ Milk and the Cookies. Oh, DJ Milk and Cookies. I like Milk and the Cookies better.
That's
I have 6
weird.
Running backs. It makes me sound like a band or a DJ. I have 6 running backs on my roster.
What DJ is with somebody? It's not Deadmau5 and whoever.
Yeah, you're right. Monte Ball, Le'Veon Bell, Joik Bell. Sankey, Lamar Miller, and Terrence West. Shut up. Should I drop Terrence West and pick up Doug Baldwin, Jordan Matthews, Heath Miller? I have Zach Ertz.
Dude, you could try and trade Terrence West now or 3 weeks from now. And I bet someone would be interested in giving you a receiver better than those guys. Not much better, marginally better.
Just wait for the Ben Tate injury.
Yeah, or trade him to the Ben Tate.
Yeah, I'm not dropping him.
All right, next one here. By the way, I don't know who Harvey, Mike, and Lewis are. Next one here is from...
3 guys that beat Adam up in junior high school.
I never got beat up. John.
Oh, really?
Yeah, correct. Oh. John from some beach in Florida.
Ormond Beach. Talk to somebody from Ormond Beach every day.
I don't know. All right, it's Bron, Sandor, and Podrick. Who's Sandor, Jamie?
Sandor.
This is obviously Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, because Podrick is the key there.
Yeah, you know who Bronn is.
Yeah, Bronn is
Bronn's sword, Tyrion's protector.
Sandor.
Yeah, I don't know who Sandor is. I gotta look Emmanuel. This one up. This show is crazy. So many freaking names. Here's the question.
I know names are wild.
These are the three most normal names on Game of Thrones, Dave. Normally, I don't consider bye weeks when drafting my starters, but in a 12-team standard draft, I ended up with 5 starters who have a week 4 bye.
Yep. This is a problem some people are running into.
Yeah, week 4 is going to be interesting. He has Wilson, Andre Ellington, Demaryius Thomas, AJ Green, and Percy Harvin. At what point do you start paying attention to bye weeks? He also has Tony Romo, so he can get away with that.
He's got Joik Bell that he can throw in there. He could flex out.
He can flex Jordan Reed. He can flex Lamar Miller, Noshon, Pierre Thomas. I think he's okay, but he's going to have to go with Brandon Cooks or Jared Boykin, it looks like, to at receiver.
Yeah, that could get ugly.
Yeah, you might not win week 4.
The other option is to try and do a trade of 2 players of equal value with different bye weeks. For example, trade AJ Green for Brandon Marshall. Maybe you throw in, who's the worst player on this guy's team? Boykin. Maybe you throw in Boykin just to make it a sweet deal for the other team. And then you've eliminated the problem of the week 4 bye blues. You've got a wide receiver that you can start, assuming the Bears aren't on bye in week 4. I don't think they are. And you go on your merry way.
Jamie, Sandor is the hound. I never would have gotten that. Russ from California. Dear Tony, Christopher, and Pauly.
Oh, I have something for you. Keep talking.
Oh, good. Tony, Christopher, and Pauly are?
Sopranos.
I just finished drafting on another site.
Oh, you got to tell your Soprano story.
No. It's not that good of a story.
I brought this for you and the woman to watch this weekend.
Oh, the double. All right.
Starring Jesse Eisenberg.
Cool. Looks good.
Oscar nominated Jamie Eisenberg.
I'm in the middle of a movie called Coherence, which so far is really good.
In the middle of it?
Is Jesse Eisenberg in it?
I fell asleep. No, it's not. He's not.
Then it sucks.
35 minutes in.
Right, Jamie?
But it's good.
Yes.
Looks good so far. Dear Tony, Christopher, and Pauly, I just finished drafting on another site that shall remain nameless. Their auto draft
raider. We don't care, by the way, if you draft on another site.
Yeah, their raider gave me a C+. I disagree with them. I want to know what you think. 12-team standard scoring league with a flex. I had the 7th pick. Here's his team. Cutler, Randall Cobb, Cordero Patterson, Giovanni Bernard, and Alfred Morris, Jimmy Graham, Michael Crabtree, Dan Bailey, and St. Louis's defense.
Oh, well, Dan Bailey.
On the bench, Ben Tate, Jeremy Hill, Kelvin Benjamin, Terrence West, Jordan Matthews.
I'd love to have this team.
I wish it had like one more guy that I know is going to be a stud. I feel like there's Graham. It's got like a whole bunch
there.
Of second to third round picks.
There.
That's really good.
I think he's
maybe
there.
You can. I think you can maybe make a trade and get like one amazing player. I don't know. Kind of consolidate a little bit.
So take 2, say Kelvin Benjamin and Randall Cobb, and turn it into a top 7 receiver.
Yeah, that's fair. Or maybe upgrade a quarterback. Cutler's good, but not great. But
if he's
going
to upgrade
team.
A quarterback, he's going to have to give up some of that
right.
depth. He'd have to give up like Tate and something. Tate and Cutler for Andrew Luck. It's not worth
right.
it.
Okay.
Did you discuss Herc's trade
yesterday?
That's
a B-plus team.
Oh, yeah. Herc made an interesting trade in our podcast league. We'll end it with this. Let me pull that trade up.
Trade up?
14-team PPR league. And Michael Hurkum traded Jamal Charles, Colin Kaepernick, and Mohamed Sanu. And he got Tate.
Trading the number 1 pick.
He wasn't number 1 pick?
Oh, he was 3rd. But his first round pick, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he gave up Charles, Kaepernick, and Sanu, and he got back Peyton Manning, Julius Thomas, and Andre Williams. Grade the trade for Herc.
A. On what kind of a scale?
You know the scale. C is average.
A.
It's an A for him.
You think so?
Yeah, and that's the kind of deal you need to make. It's got to be a no-brainer. At this point in the year, before week 1, it's got to be a no-brainer.
Think about what he got back. He got an upgraded quarterback. He got a significant upgraded tight end.
Got a sleeper at running back.
And he got a sleeper at running back to help replace Charles at some point down the road. Now, he's never going to be Charles, clearly, especially in a PPR league.
Do we know what his running backs are?
His running backs are Shane Vereen and Toby Gerhardt, and Williams is now his only other one.
Okay.
So it's not the best of depth situation, but clearly
he... Which isn't that good of a thing in a 14-team league, by the way.
Yeah, but he'll find guys. I mean...
He'll find running backs in a 14-team league?
Yeah, he will. I mean, the thing he's got to do is, if he didn't do it already, is make sure he has Jordan Todman to handcuff to...
Yeah, well, he can drop Travis Kelce now.
Gerhardt.
And he can
drop
Taylor Austin.
You wouldn't drop Travis Kelce in a PPR league, in a 14-team PPR league.
You wouldn't?
No, because he can play my flex. If he hits, that'd be a no...
All right, drop Tavon Austin.
That's the one you drop. I actually told him to try and throw in Tavon Austin, see if he could get the deal done, but he didn't want to get cute, and he traded Sanu.
Who would you rather have, Sanu or Austin?
Sanu, right now.
Yeah. Okay, good job, Herc. Guys, we're done. It's been a very fun off season. Next week, still the preseason, I guess, but...
No. Preseason is over.
You think it's over now?
No, there's still. I have a draft Monday and
that doesn't mean the preseason's
Wednesday.
Going on. We're in that
but
lovely.
The season's not draft, going
we're
on.
In the draft, anticipation draft season.
Oh,
draft
okay.
prep season, sure. That's
the anticipation season.
But there's no more preseason football. That crap is done.
And I am all done with my drafts, and I could not be happier.
You're not in one more next week?
No, he's not in that league.
Oh, he's not?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have three next week. I forgot about that.
Good. I was like, crap, you entered me into another draft.
No, you're right. Not man enough to do a 16-team league.
I'm in a 16-team league.
No, you're not.
For the sole purpose of being in a 16-team league for this podcast.
Then why wouldn't you have done it for our office league with everybody else that you work with?
I'm in that league, the newsroom league.
No, different one.
Dude, I'm in a 16-team. You know what the problem is with this 16-team league? I wanted a challenging 16-team league, and the commissioner made it a one running back league.
That's right. Dave and I are in a 20-team league that Dave commissions, where it's a one running back league too.
But two flex spots.
Oh, see, that changes things.
What do you think about this draft strategy? Dave gives, Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong, 0.5 point for running backs on PPR, 1 point for receivers, 1.5 points for tight ends. Mm-hmm. So you can only draft running backs and
tight ends
in the first round.
And quarterbacks, receivers only in the second round. That way everybody, it's a 20-team league, so everybody gets a
bounce.
Stud player.
Interesting.
I prefer parity.
In the first round, I took Stacy at 18. Second round, third pick, Calvin Johnson. Two quarterbacks went. For third round.
Two quarterbacks went? Wow.
Well, yeah, because Peyton and...
So you took Calvin over Graham.
No, he couldn't take Graham.
Graham was the first round pick.
I took Calvin
over
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
That was the and quarterback passing touchdowns are only 5. So I took Calvin in the second round. Now this is where it gets interesting. So the third round, Zach Ertz was the easy pick. He was one of the last top 10 tight ends, 0.5 per catch. Round 4, Heath Miller.
Oh right.
As my first flex.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good one because I remember the wide receivers we were comparing him to.
It was Patterson was on the board. Yeah. I know that. There was some Toby Gerhardt was on the board.
Right.
Another running back. What would you have done there, Dave?
I might have gone with Patterson. He was there or not?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, I might have gone that way.
Even with the 0.5 per catch?
Yeah, because you get a full point per catch still from Patterson.
And
yeah.
I endorsed Heath Miller. Maybe I would have gone with Gerhardt, knowing that I wouldn't have liked it as much today
Patterson,
on draft day. But going forward in a 20-team league to have Zach Stacy and Toby Gerhardt, you might have a running back advantage over just about every other team.
But I really only I'm only concerned about the one spot.
You only have to start one. Yeah, I know, but now you only have to start one. But what if Stacy goes down?
Oh no, I'm going to obviously try to get Cunningham. I'm sure at some point there's going to be somebody with a late round pick that tries to take him too. But if I could just make sure I have that team, I'm going to take more, obviously. But if I can make sure I have that team, I'll be very happy.
All right, guys, we're out of here. We'll talk to y'all on Tuesday. Monday's Labor Day. Have a great 3-day weekend. Talk to you Tuesday.
Bye.